All right, we'll say good morning. Good morning. Let's begin. So first of all, we dedicate our learning this morning as a refuah shlema for Moshe Gershon ben Chaya. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, he'll have a complete and enduring refuah.
Amen.
So we'll say top of Mem Zayin and Aleph, the Mishnah. Mi shenizrak alav echa min adamim v'nitma. So what's another interesting case? Someone ultimately again, who, remember again, Nazir at the conclusion of his Chevron Nazir, he's bringing three karbanos, he's bringing a chatas, an ola, and the shlamim. So what happens? Let's say one of the bloods was sprinkled, v'nitma. Listen, that is an interesting case. He became tummy. So he became tummy now after one of the bloods has already been sprinkled. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Soser Esako. So Rabbi Eliezer says that Rabbi Eliezer, he loses the entire Nazirus. Well, actually, the truth is that let's define it like that for now, even though we're going to revise that in the Gemara just a little bit. But remember, Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that we saw yesterday that in order for the Nedir Nazirus to end, what has to happen? He requires all the masim. He requires rikas hadam, cutting of the hair, and tnufa. Only then is the Nazirus finally over. Therefore, again, according to Eliezer, if you become tameh, only after one of the sprinkling of the buds, before all of the concluding processes have been done, so he's so ser, it literally undermines the Nazirus. And then again, so ser esakol means it destroys everything. Again, we'll qualify that statement. Vecharm necham say no, yavi shar karbonosa v'yitar. Chacham say no, you bring the rest of your karbonos and you're okay. And I will say now, interestingly enough, if you look at the Rush, so the Rush says of here, Chacham rum yavi shar karbonosa v'yitar, perish lechishe yitar. The Chacham hold like this. I will say, remember, in this case, let's say for argument's sake, I offered up the chatos. They sprinkled the blood of the chatos, and then I became tamei mace. So the Chachamim say, not a problem. Obviously, now you can't offer up the rest of, I can't offer up the rest of my karbanos. Why not? Why not? Because I'm tamei. So therefore, the Chachamim say, I have to go through the process of tara. I have to go through purification. And after purification, I could just simply resume offering up the rest of my karbanos. But what? I need not repeat any amount of the Nazirus. And I will say, this is the Chachamim Lishitasam, because the Chachamim hold that what? Once one of the sprinkling of the bloods it was done, then ultimately, again, the Nazirus has concluded. Amr lo. So they said, so the Chachamim said to Rabbi Eliezer, Ma'aseh b'miriam hatardmudis, shenizrak aleha echad min adamim. So we'll say there was this episode with Miriam hatarmudis. This is a woman, and she was a Nazira. And what happened? They had sprinkled the blood of her first karban. Uba'uva amrula abita shahisa misukenes. And they came and they told her that her daughter was unfortunately deathly ill. So Miriam Hatamudis runs home, and she finds Nebuch. When she got home, her daughter had passed away. So we'll say, so now, remember again, she's lost her daughter, but there's also a halachic issue, which is now what? She's tamei tumas ohel, right? Because she's under the same roof now, unfortunately, as her deceased daughter. The Amru Chacham, the Chacham say, Tavi Sha'ar Kabanaseh Vititar. The Chacham said, it's not a problem. She does not lose any of her Nazirus. Rather, what happens? Lemaisa, again, there's a pause. Rabbi, so remember, again, even the Chacham agree, you can't offer up Karbanos Bituma. So she has to undergo the 7-day purification process for Tumas Meis. But after that process is complete, she could just simply resume the offering of her karbanos. Says the Gemara, Katani Rabbi Eliezer Omer Soser Asakol, Vaha Omer Rabbi Eliezer Kol Acher Malos Shiva Soser. So we'll say the Gemara raises a kasha. The Mishnah makes it sound like this, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, in this case, where the Nazir becomes Tameh after the sprinkling of the first blood, then what? Then what's the halacha? You lose, Soser Asakol, you lose everything. You lose everything. Everything sounds like what? Now you have to repeat the whole Nazirus. But says the Gemara, how could that be? Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that at any time you become Tameh, Acher Malos, well, so what does Acher Malos mean? If I become Tameh after the duration of my Nazirus has ended, Rabbi Eliezer, we had this long time ago, Rabbi Eliezer Paskind, based on Xeris HaKasov, that's what? The most you lose is 7 days. You'll never have to repeat. Remember, this was a special, unique halacha, according to Rabbi Eliezer, for a Nazir who becomes Tameh after the duration of the Nazirus. The most I ever have to repeat after Rosh Naziris has concluded is 7 days. So for those whole 7 days, why would he say Soser HaKol? To which the Gemara says, no, Amar Rav, my Soser, not Mitkamar Belazer, Soser Karbonosov. No, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't mean you have to repeat the whole Nazirus. What Rabbi Eliezer says you have to do is what? You have to repeat all of the Karbonos. So we'll say, so, oh, thank you for that back up there. I appreciate that. It was very nice. So it says, therefore, again, says Rabbi Eliezer like this, that Lamaisa, again, in this case of Rabbi Osai, Rabbi Eliezer will agree that the Nazir has to repeat, 7 days. Now, the truth is, that's not really such a chiddush, because you're going to have to wait 7 days regardless, because you're tamei. So that's not, what he holds is like this. What do you do with that first carbon that was offered? So let's say again, in the case of the Mishnah, Nazir offered the chatas, and then sprinkled the blood of the chatas, then becomes tamei. Rabbi Eliezer, when he says Soser HaSakol, means yes, you have to repeat 7 days in the Zirus, but in addition to that, what? The chatas you offered is not good. You're going to have to re-offer another chatas. Hachanami Mistabra, this appears to be clear in our interpretation of the Mishnah as well. Diktani v'chachamim omrim, tavi shar karbonoseha v'titayr, shmamina. Because we'll say, what does the Mishnah say? According to Chacham, they say what? That in this case, yes, you have to wait till 7 days to become pure, but after that, you offer up the remaining karbonos, which indicate to us what? They hold that that first karbon was valid, whereas Rabbi Eliezer paskins that that first karbon ultimately, again, was invalid. So we'll say, so now what the Gemara is saying over here is that Lamaisa, again, the machlokis, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, is not about repeating the duration of the Nazirus. Both will agree you have to wait 7 days. Now, granted, according to Rabbi Eliezer, those 7 days are 7 days of purification, and also what? And also 7 days of Nazirus. According to the Chachamim, those are just 7 days of purification. What's the Nekudas? What's the Machlokes? The Machlokes is, what do you do with that first carbon that was offered before Tumah? According to Rabbi Eliezer, you have to repeat it. According to the Chacham, it's absolutely fine. Uma'as senami b'mirim atamudis. And remember, again, now the Gemara says, the rest of the Mishnah makes sense as well. Because what did the Mishnah say? There was an episode of mirim atamudis. Shenizrak ala echad min hadamim. With mirim atamudis, again, Moshe Gemara is just quoting the Mishnah, where she offered up the first of her karbanos. The first blood was sprinkled. Uba'u vahudi uha abita shahaisa misukenes. And they came and they told her about her daughter who was deathly ill. V'halcha ob matzah shemesa. She found Nebuch that her daughter had died. She was now tamei tumas meis. V'amru chachamim tavi shar karbon oseh v'tetayer. And again, if you look at the lashon of the Mishnah, the Chacham told her, don't worry, meaning just the first karbon you offered is good. Offer up the rest of the karbonos and you're fine. Shmamina. The Gemara says, you see from here that what? Then indeed the machlokes Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is about that first karbon and its validity. According to Chachamim, it's valid, and you just offer up the remaining karbonos. According to Eliezer, you have to re-offer the first karbon as well. We'll say, so the Rambam paskins like the Chachamim, and therefore in this case, again, where the Nazir would become Tamei, after the sprinkling of the blood of the first karbon, even though you'd have to now wait 7 days before offering up the rest of the karbonos, the Rambam paskins like the Chacham that that first karbon would be valid and it does not have to be repeated. Hadron Allah, Shlosha Minin. Calling God over Nazir. This is a really fascinating sugya. It's going to take us very well, we're going to see. Kohen Gadol v'Nazir. So listen to this case. There's a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir walking together. This is not like a joke. You know, that's right. So there's not saying Kohen Gadol, Nazir, and a priest. You know, there's not. So there's a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir together. So what's the halacha? Ein metamin likroveyim. So we'll say Kohen Gadol and Nazir share a common denominator, which is what? Neither of them are permitted to become tamei even for the Zayin Krovim, even for the seven close relatives. Remember again, this stands in contradistinction to a Kohen Hedyot, where as much as a Kohen Hedyot also just can't become randomly tamei, Kohen Hedyot does have, I want to be clear, it's not just a dispensation, actually we'll see, it's interesting machlokas, if the ability for a Kohen Hedyot to become tamei for the Zayin Krovim, for the seven close relatives, a mother, father, brother, sister, son, daughter, spouse, wife, so Is that a rishus? Is that a license? Or is it an obligation? So we'll get into that a little bit. But again, a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir cannot become tamei even for the seven close relatives. However, aval mitamin lemeis mitzvah. But Rabbi said they can become tamei for a meis mitzvah. Remember, again, we've spoken a little bit about meis mitzvah a few days ago. I think it was over Yontif, right? Mm-hmm. That meis mitzvah, the definition of a meis mitzvah is someone who literally has no kovrim. Someone ultimately, again, no one to bury them. Again, now I want to be clear, let's say you have someone, remember, just to give you the extreme case that the Gemara dealt with, let's say somebody dies and their son is the Kohen Gadol. So I, person's a Meis Mitzvah, there's no one to bury them because the son can't become Tamei. Remember, that's not called Meis Mitzvah. Why? Because that son could arrange for burial. So remember, again, any Meis Mitzvah, someone is not just who has nobody to actively bury them, but no one to even take care of hiring other people to bury them as well. So Kohen Gadol Nazir can become Tamei for a Meis Mitzvah. For example, listen to this. This is really fascinating. So let's say Kohen Gadol and Nazir are walking on the road. Umatsu Meis Mitzvah. So we'll say, listen to this fascinating Shaila. Kohen Gadol and Nazir are walking down the road and they find a Meis Mitzvah. So now what's going to be the Shaila? The Shaila is, who should become Tamei to bury the Meis Mitzvah? Right? Let's say, again, now this is presupposing, by the way, that you only need one person. Right? Let's assume for a moment you only need one person to accomplish the whole thing. So who should go ahead and do it? Rabbi Abi Ezra Omer, Yitama Yitma Kohen Gadol, Va'al Yitma Nazir. So Rabbi Eliezer says the Kohen Gadol should do it, and not the Nazir. The Chachamim Omrim, Yitma Nazir, Va'al Yitma Kohen Hedyot. So listen to this. The Chachamim say, forget about Kohen Gadol. Even if it's a choice between a Nazir and a Kohen Hedyot, still it's always better for a Nazir to do it than any Kohanim. Now, both say, now obviously you understand what they're arguing about ultimately is whose Kiddusha is more acute or whose Kiddusha is more intense. Is Kiddusha's Kehuna or Kiddusha's Kohen Gadol or Kiddusha's Nazir more intense? Listen to this. Amar lahem Rabbi Eliezer, Yitama Kohen. So Rabbi Eliezer says the Kohen should be the one who becomes Tomei, and I'll tell you why. She'eno maybe Karban al Tumaso. Because they both say, remember, the Kohen, when he becomes Tamei, he does not bring a Karban for his Tumah. Both say, remember again, what happens ultimately again if a Nazir becomes Tamei? If a Nazir becomes Tamei, then Lamaise again, first of all, it undermines his entire Nazir. He's got to start all over again. Okay, fine, that doesn't bother us as much. What does bother us even more is he has to bring a Karban for his Tumah. What Rabbi Eliezer understands is the fact that a Nazir has to bring a Karban for his Tumah is indicative of the fact that what? That his Kiddusha is more acute than that of the Kohen Gadol. The Haraya, because violation of that Kiddusha ultimately requires a Karban. As opposed to a Kohen, if he becomes Tamei, I've also had episode Kohen if he becomes Tamei. So whatever, he has to go through the process of Tara. But there is no sacrificial obligation. Therefore, because there's a sacrificial obligation for Nazir, the Kiddusha of Nazir is more acute. Therefore, again, if there's a choice between the Kohen Gadol becoming Tamei, or the Nazir becoming Tamei, it should be the Nazir who becomes Tamei. Amru lo. So the Chachamim responded, no, Yitma Nazir She'im Kiddushaso Kiddushas Olam Va'ayitma Kohen She'kiddushaso Kiddushas Olam. So we'll say the Chachamim, now here's what's interesting. So the Chachamim respond and they say, no, the Kiddusha of the Kohen is more acute. Why? Because his Kiddusha, first of all, I'll say it's two things. When they say Kiddusha, so Kiddusha Olam, what they're saying is not just in terms of duration. They're also talking about the fact that it is a conferred Kiddusha. No. Is that the right word? It's a conferred Kiddusha? It's an inherent Kiddusha. Maybe inherent is the better word. It's an inherent Kiddusha as opposed to the Nazir, which is a voluntary bestowed.
It's an individual.
Right, it's a sign. Voluntary, but it's okay. You understand the point is. Let's go with inherent. The Kohen has an inherent kiddusha versus what's called Nazir is more of an. I don't know if that's the right term, but we'll use it for now. An assigned kiddusha, right? The idea over here. So Rosa, here's what's interesting. Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim agree on principle. And what do they? What's the principle they agree on? That the person with lesser kiddusha should be the one who becomes tamei. That's the thing. So everyone's in agreement with the principle. The shaila just is who has lesser kiddusha or who has greater kiddusha. So again, Rabbi Lezer says that it's clear the Nazir has greater kiddusha because violation of his kiddusha results in sacrificial obligation. If you have to bring a carbon and you become tamei, that must mean that your kiddusha is more intense and more acute. Therefore, the Kohen Gadol should become tamei. So again, Chachamim say no. Kohen is kiddusha. So kiddusha is olam. It's an eternal kiddusha. It's an inherent kiddusha versus Nazir, which is an assigned kiddusha. I will say, by the way, now once they say that, you also understand why, according to Rabbi Eliezer, according to the Chachamim, they would even hold that a Nazir should become Tamei even before who? even before a Kohen had Yot. Because remember, the argument of Kiddusha, Kiddushas, or Kiddushas Olam is not just an argument by Kohen Gadol, it's an argument by any Kohen. Says the Gemara. Bishlama, listen to this. Bishlama Kohen Gadol. I will say this is very exciting. No?
Yeah,
good. This is because, again, now you can see already where this is going to go, where we're going to go ahead and we're going to apply, we're going to see all different people and all the relative levels of Kiddusha. So, Bishlam HaKohen Gadol V'Nazir, High Saver HaKohen Gadol Adif, V'High Saver Nazir Adif. So, as it says the Gemara, okay, the truth is, I hear this case of Kohen Gadol Nazir, and Abbas, I remember, this case of Kohen Gadol Nazir is also a wonderfully, like, tension-provoking case, because they are two very similar personalities in terms of their restrictions. So I understand Chachamim hold that Kohen Gadol is greater, and Rabbi Elazar holds that Nazir is greater. Listen to this. Mashuach b'shemen ha-mishcha u'meruba b'begadim. We'll say, listen to this. Let's say you have two different Kohanim. Now, we'll say, remember, these are two Kohanim Gedolim. Right? Let's say you have a Kohen Gadol who was anointed with shemen ha-mishcha, with anointing oil, and meruba b'begadim. Now, we'll say, remember, the way you're supposed to go ahead and, in an ideal sense, is the way you're supposed to anoint a Kohen Gadol. Kohanim Gedolim and Melachim and kings are anointed in the same way, Shemen HaMishcha, with anointing oil. Now remember, again, as historically we know anointing oil was hidden away at some point in time. So at that point, how do they anoint Kohanim Gedolim? It was called Merubah Begadim. You would put on the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, and that ultimately would be your induction into the service of the Kahuna Gedola. So let's say you have over here two Kohanim Gedolim, one who is anointed with anointing oil, and one who is Meruba Bibigadim, and one ultimately who is became a Kohen Gadol, ultimately again through Begadim. Now, Bosai, obviously we're not going to get into right now how this is possible, because remember again, you never have two simultaneously functioning Kohanim Gedolim. But that doesn't matter for our case right now. We're trying to figure out relative levels of Kiddusha. So for argument's sake, if you were to have, although again, the Rush does come up with this, Tosas also points out how you could have it, but again, for our discussions, it's not really all that important. The idea is, you have them. They're standing side by side. So who should become Tamei Lames? So listen to this. So Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha Adif. So the Kohen Gadol anointed with anointing oil, ultimately again, is the one who has greater Kiddusha. Why, Rabosai? Di'ilu mashuach b'shemen ha-mishcha mevi par habo akol ha-mitzvos ve'ilu meruba b'begadim ein mevi. Also, listen to this. So there's something called par habo akol ha-mitzvos, which is that if the Kohen Gadol offers or issues an erroneous ruling, he issues a psak halacha that permits something that under normal circumstances would be a chiyuv karis. So let's say, for example, the Kohen Gadol has a psak halacha that permits someone to eat a particular piece of chilev, a particular fat. And it turns out that the fat is indeed prohibited. Remember, consumption of illegal chilev could result in karis. So the Kohen Gadol has to bring a special offering, a special carbon called par haba akol ha-mitzvos. What the Gemara points out is that not every Kohen Gadol brings that offering, but rather it is only a Kohen Gadol who was anointed with Shemen HaMishcha, but a Kohen Gadol who was anointed Meruba Bebegadim does not bring that carbon. So what the Gemara wants to suggest is that the fact that the Kohen anointed with Shemen HaMishcha brings that parabah kol mitzvos and a Meruba Begadim does not indicates that what? That the Kohen that is Nimshach B'Shemen HaMishcha has greater Kiddusha than the one who is Meruba Begadim. Therefore, if both of them are walking on the road together and there is a Meis Mitzvah, the Meruba Begadim should be Matame himself and the Mashuach B'Shemen HaMishcha should not. Fine. Next. Mashuach Sha'avar U'Meruba Begadim. Oh, so this is also another great case. Listen to this. Let's say you have two Kohanim Gedolim. Mashuach Sha'avar, the first Kohen Gadol, was anointed with anointing oil. He is Kohen Gadol Emeritus. Okay, versus Meruba Begadim. Meruba Begadim means he's the active Kohen Gadol, but he was not anointed with oil. Instead, he put on the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, and that's how he became the Kohen Gadol. So, says here now. So now remember, we've established that active Meshuach Melchama, Meshuach B'Shavan HaMishcha, is more Kadosh than active Meruba Begadim. Now the Shaila is retired Meshuach B'Shavan HaMishcha, Meshuach B'Shavan HaMishcha, was his status relative to Meruba Begadim? So says the Gemara, Meruba Begadim, Adif. I will say, in this case over here, the Kohen Gadol who was anointed with clothing, again, who was Meruba Begadim, he has greater Kiddusha than the Kohen Gadol Emeritus, even though the Kohen Gadol Emeritus was anointed with oil. The Meruba Begadim Avid Avoda, the Ilu Mashuach Sha'avar, Lav Baravodu. So we'll say, so the truth is, this was an easy one. Why is this an easy one? Because Lamaisa, again, the Kohen Gadol Sha'avar, even though he's anointed with oil, he's retired. So we'll say, once you understand, retired Kohanim Gedolim often find, we'll discuss this in greater depth, but find themselves in an interesting position. Because remember, again, once you serve this Kohen Gadol, you can never go back to being a Kohen Head Yod. So that Kohen Gadol Sha'avar is an interesting case of like a Nishtahim Nishtaher. He's really in Kohanic limbo because he can't really do anything. So the Gemara says, of course, the Meruba Begadim, of course, is going to have greater Kiddusha. Why? Because the Meruba Begadim is the one who's doing the Avota. He's performing sacrificial service and rites. Versus the Kohen Gadol Sha'avar, even though he's Mashuach, even though he's anointed with oil, he's not doing Avota. So the Mashuach Sha'avar should be Metame for the Meis Mitzvah and not the Meruba Begadim. Next, Avar Machmas Kiruyav, Va'avar Machmas Mu'o. We'll say, listen to this. Let's say you have two former Kohanim Gedolim. We'll say now one of them is quote unquote former. Why? Because he had a seminal emission. And we'll say, remember, the halacha is this is in general, but it's more acute by Kohanim, which is that if a Kohen has a seminal emission, he's a Baal Keri. A Baal Keri, we'll say the halacha is, has a level of tumah, but it's only tumah for one day, meaning the day that the emission occurred, he goes to the mikvah, and that night, Harif Shemesh, he's fine, he's tar again. So we'll say, let's say the Kohen Gadol had a seminal emission, which means that, and let's say again, it's Thursday. Right? Say a seminal emission on Thursday, okay? So for today, he can't do the avoda. So we'll say, so what happens? So he's what's called Avar Machmas Kiruyav. He's the non-practicing Kohen Gadol, so he's quote-unquote the Kohen Gadol Emeritus for today. Remember, that's why they have a backup. There's always a backup Kohen Gadol. So for today, he's the non-practicing Kohen Gadol. And then there's another non-practicing Kohen Gadol, but he's a non-practicing Kohen Gadol. Why? Because he developed a mum. So he developed a mum. He developed some kind of disqualifying blemish, whatever it might be. Therefore, I'm sorry? So the case over here is it's a mum keva. He developed a mum keva, an established, it's not going away. And therefore, again, he was retired. He was the Kohen Gadol, developed this mum, this blemish. He was retired. So now you have, quote, say, it's an interesting case by this. You have, quote, unquote, two former Kohanim Gedolim. Now, one, of course, is just the former Kohen Gadol for how long? For today, and one is a former Kohen Gadol permanently. They both kind of walking together. They go ahead and come across the Meis Mitzvah. Who should bury him? Avar Machmas Kiruyav Adif. So we'll say the Kohen Gadol, who is only the former Kohen Gadol because of the seminal emission, he has greater Kiddusha than the other guy. Why? Ve'ilu hay chazi la'avod l'machar, ve'ilu avar machmas mumo lo chazi la'avod. So we'll say again, this also is a very intuitive one. Obviously, the Kohen Gadol, who's the former Kohen Gadol for the day because of the seminal emission, has greater Kiddusha than the one who has the mum. Because again, the guy with the seminal emission, at least tomorrow, he'll be back on duty. The other, the avar machmas mumo, ultimately, again, he's retired forever. Fine. Ibari lehu. So Moses said, in that case, again, the Kohen Gadol, who was retired because of his mum, will be the one who will become Tomei, and the other one will not. Ibari lehu. Was another case. Mashuach milchama usigan. Moses, listen to this case. Now, by the way, so now we're moving past. In the previous cases, we were comparing different levels of Kohanim Gedolim. Now we're moving past that a little bit and going ahead and moving to the next tier of Kohanim. Let's say, you have the Mashuach Melchama and the Skan. So who is the Mashuach Melchama? The Mashuach Melchama ultimately, again, was the Kohen whose specific job was to lead the army out to war, right? He was the one ultimately that would give the whole speech before going out to war, listing all of the exemptions. He's the one that would give them the divrei chizuk, the divrei orus, that they're going to be successful. So this is the Mashuach Mecham and the Skan. Who is the Skan? So the Skan, of course, is the assistant Kohen Gadol, the backup Kohen Gadol. So we'll say, if you have these two people walking on the road together, Mashuach Mechama and Skan, and there's a Meis Mitzvah, who should become Tamei to take care of the Meis Mitzvah? So listen to this. Hey Minayu Adif. So the Gemara says, Mashuach Milchama Adif. So the one who was anointed for battle, he ultimately has greater Kiddusha. Why? Dechazi Limochama. Because on one hand, again, I will say he is fit, meaning he's fit for his job. He's ultimately the one who leads them out to war. Ol Dilmaskan Adif, Dechazi La'avoda. So let's say, see here what's interesting over here? The coming down between both of these people is right now, in this moment, when they're walking down the road and they encounter the Meis Mitzvah, they're both quote-unquote inactive. What does that mean? Meaning they both have specific jobs, but neither of them is fulfilling a specific job right now. So the Mashuach Melchama, ultimately, again, his job is to lead the people out to war. So that's what he's fit for. Versus the Sgan, who if the Kohen Gadol becomes disqualified, is ready to step in for the Avodah. So who has greater Kiddusha? To which the Gemara says, Tashma Desanya, Ein bein Mashuach Melchama l'skan. There is no distinction between the Kohen who is Mashuach Melchama, who was anointed for war, and the Skan Kohen Gadol. Ella Shimhayu Mahalchin Baderech Umatzu Meis Mitzvah Yitami Mashuach Melchama V'ayitami Asgan. So we'll say, all right. So the Brisa seems to be quite explicit. There's no distinction between them, meaning they're both considered to be anointed Kohanim. One exception between them is that if they're both walking down the road together, and what happens? And they come across a Meis Mitzvah, the Mashuach Melchama should become Tameh, and the Skan should not. Aye, Vahatai, who's the husband?
Mashuach Melchama, he did his job, whereas the Skan is someone who's
going to... Not necessarily, but again, what if war happens now? War happens again, the Skan's going to be needed again. Right, meaning again, but that's the common thread between both of them is you could make the argument that both are on call. They're both on call. They're both always wearing, you know, their Kohanic pagers because something happens to the Kohen Gadol, so Skan's got to kick, war comes about, the Mashuach Melchama has to kick in.
Mashuach Melchama only goes to that status when there is a Melchama and then they elevate him to that. When
correct. Well, no. He's in that status, meaning you are the Kohen Gadol, you are the Kohen Mashuach Melchama. That's your office. You're inactive now because there's no war. Same thing with the Skan. You're the Skan Kohen Gadol. You're inactive right now because the Kohen Gadol's fine. So the common narrative between both of them is they both have a higher calling, but their higher calling is only activated in the event that certain circumstances occur. And right now, neither of their circumstances have materialized. So they're both standby Kohanim.
Skan Kohen Gadol, not Skan to this Mashuach Melchama.
No, correct. There is no Skan Mashuach Melchama. This is an important point I will say. Remember, the only person who has a backup, the only high-profile Kohen who has a backup is going to be the Kohen Gadol. And that's because, remember, every day there are avodas that the Kohen Gadol himself must do. So there must always be a Kohen Gadol. Mashuach Melchama, worst case scenario, if Mashuach Melchama died, and the next day there's a war, you'll appoint another guy. So it says the Gemara the following. So I will say, see here, the Brisa seems to be quite explicit. The Brisa says that if the Mashuach Melchama and the Skan Kohen Gadol are walking on the road together and they find the Meis Mitzvah, so the Mashuach Melchama should become Tamei and not the Skan. Aye, v'hatanya, Mashuach Melchama kodem l'skan. But I will say, there's another Brisa, and the Brisa says that the Mashuach Melchama is more chashuv kodem. We assume that kodem means that ultimately, again, Kodem means that he's more chashuv than the Skan. So also, he seems to contradict it. Because on one hand, the Brisa is telling me if they're walking down the street together, the Mashuach Melchama should become Tamei for the Meis Mitzvah and not the Skan. But yet the very next Brisa says that the Mashuach Melchama is more chashuv than the Skan. So what's going on? Well, see, this is amazing. Arma Zutra, this is really fascinating. Le'inyan hacheyoso, Mashuach Melchama adif. Rabosei, in terms of sustaining one of them, the Mashuach Melchama is more important. And I will say, now what does that mean? Take a look. Actually, let's finish with this. My time, what's the reason? The Talu Bei Rabim. because Rabbi say people depend on him. Rabbi say, now take a look. This is absolutely amazing. Take a look at the rush for just a moment. V'hatanya, it's the last, and I don't know, I think we all have different arrangements of the rush. The last two lines in the rush, right-hand column. V'hatanya, mashuach mechama kodem l'skan, perish with the sefer haris misna, le'inyan lachyoso, kegon lahaktim lo mezonos, o lefakeach es hagal. This is going to blow your mind. Let's just switch gears in just a moment. Let's say both Kohanim are trapped under rubble, right? Mashuach Melchama and the Sgan Kohen Gadol. And what? And you can only save one of them. Or there's only enough food for one of them. Who do you save under those circumstances? So the Gemara says, in that respect, you save the Mashuach Melchama. Why do you save the Mashuach Melchama? So again, because the Gemara said, Mishum detalu beirabim, because the multitudes are dependent on him. And look at the Rush again. Mashuach Melchama adif detalu beirabim, kol erech ha-melchama na'aseh al-piv. Because Rabbi said, he is the one ultimately that leads the army out to war. Look at Rashi for just a moment. The Talibei Rabbim, the Avid Milchama Bishuram. What's it? Do you hear this chap over here? This is absolutely amazing on so many levels. What the Gemara is saying is like this: the Mashu on a Torah of a Chashivos level, the Mashuach Milchama is more important than the Skan. Why? The Skan is important on both sides because the Skan is needed in the event something happens. They're calling God. Someone needs to do the Avodah in the base. I make Dash. But I will say, here's what's amazing: from the eyes of your worth to Klal Yisrael. Who has greater worth? Someone who offers up ketores in the Beis HaMikdash or someone who leads the masses and inspires the masses and is there for them in times of crisis and times of war? The Gemara says, it's better to be there for the Rabbim than it is to offer up ketores in the Beis HaMikdash. Absolutely amazing. Therefore, if there's only enough resources to save one of them, you save the Mashiach. Do you understand what this means, by the way? You understand what it's saying? What it's saying is, there is nothing greater you could do in life than serve the Klal. That is the pinnacle of Judaic accomplishment. It is the pinnacle of greatness. It's to be there for your people. Yeah, it's great to offer up ketores. There's no shaila about that. But if you have a choice in saving one of them, you save the Mashiach Melchama. On the other hand, Ole Inyan Tuma Sgan Adif. On the other hand, when it comes to Tuma, meaning if it comes to a choice of who's going to become Tame, the Sgan, or the Mashuach Melchama, so we'd rather have the Mashuach Melchama become Tame and not the Sgan. The Sanya. As well as I see here, so now again, you understand, the Gemara is now saying that the Brisos are not contradictory. So therefore, when it comes to Tuma, and there's a choice between who's going to become Tame, the Skan Kohen Gadol or the Mashuach Melchama, the Mashuach Melchama becomes Tame. I will say, well, actually, see, we're not going to get to it now, but there's an interesting discussion in the poskim in terms of, can the Mashuach Melchama do his job even Betuma? Even Betuma. And I will say, Bepashtos, the answer is yes. Why? Because Lemaisa, again, he's going out to war. I'm saying there's a whole bunch of Tumah when it comes out to war. So, again, but leaving that aside, when it comes to Tumah, so ultimately, again, everyone will agree that the Mashuach Melchama should become Tameh before the Skan. He should take care of the mitzvah. That's what the Brisa means when it says they're walking on the road, they both see the Meis mitzvah. Ultimately, the Mashuach Melchama should become Tameh, leave the Skan in a state of Tara. However, again, when it comes to who is more important, so to speak, so the Mashuach Melchama has Kedimos over the Sgan Kohen Gadol. Why? Because the Mashuach Melchama serves the Rabbim. He serves the masses. And Rabbo said that's the highest calling within our people. So the Gemara just says, Disanya. But again, but yet, we try to preserve the Tara of the Sgan, ultimately again, over the Mashuach Melchama. This Nan Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus Omer, Lama Tiknu Sgan Kohen Gadol. Why did they establish a scan for the Kohen Gadol? Very simply, Shem Ira Bo Psul Hari Nichnas Umishamish Tachtov. Because the Bosek, you know, remember, which Gemara is just saying intuitively, this is why we want to preserve the Kedusha of the scan to whatever degree possible. Because what's the whole point of the scan? The point of the scan is, should the Kohen Gadol become Tame, we want the backup to be there. So obviously, I will say, if the backup becomes Tame, it kind of undermines the entire purpose. Therefore, because he's the backup Kohen Gadol, we try to preserve his Kiddusha to whatever degree possible, and therefore we'd rather have the Mashuach Melchama ultimately become Tameh over him. Ad kan lo pligi. Ella b'kohen gadol v'nazir ki azli b'hadi adadi. So listen, now the Gemara kind of wants to conclude with just one last thought, that up until now, this machlokes only came up over here because you had the kohen gadol and nazir walking on the road together. So we'll say, when they're walking on the road together, and if we presuppose that what? That only one of them is necessary to ultimately bury the meis mitzvah, so then I understand why this machlokes comes up, because the shayla ultimately is, who should become tame and who shouldn't? Aval chad chad l'kudei bar it muye inun. But Rabbi said, but at the end of the day, one thing is clear, bless you, which is what? That if either of them were walking alone, then what? It goes without saying that they would become tame for the meis mitzvah. So we'll say, with the Gemara, now the Gemara is kind of circling back. Let's go back to basics. We got caught up in a discussion about relative kedusha, and ultimately, again, who should become tame when you have a choice of only one of them becoming tame. But one thing is clear, says the Gemara, that if either Kohen Gadol or Nazir were walking themselves on the road, that what? That Lamaisa, again, they definitely would become Tamei for a Meis Mitzvah. To which the Gemara now says, Minahani Mili. So it's interesting, because we got so caught up in this discussion of who, like, Kedimos, of precedence of Kedusha. Let's go back to basics a little bit. How do we know that for a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir, that they do become Tamei for Meis Mitzvah? Where do we know that from? The Tanah Rabbanan, so let's just do a few more lines. Remember, this is the pasuk by Kohen Gadol. So the pasuk says, "V'akol nafshos meis lo yavo, la'aviv uli'imo lo yitama." So the pasuk says that on all nafshos meis, on any for any dead people, the Kohen Gadol should not come in contact with them. La'aviv uli'imo lo yitama. For his mother and his father, he should not go ahead and become tame. So the Gemara says, "B'makas of medaber." So both say, "So who?" When the pasuk says, "Akol nafshos meis," when the pasuk says, "For any people who die, for any dead people, the Kohen Gadol should not come in contact," who are we talking about? Iber Chokim, if you want to say he's dealing with non-relatives, Kavachomer, then you can make a Kavachomer. Uma Kohen Hedyot, Shumitami Likrovim, Enamitami Lirachokim. We'll say if a Kohen Hedyot who cannot become Tame, who can become Tame for Krovim, for relatives, for the seven close relatives, can become Tame for Rechokim, Kohen Gadol Shinim Matami Likrovim, Eino Din Shinim Matami Lirachokim. The Rabbi said, Kohen Gadol who cannot become Tame for Krovim, all the more so, again, he can't become Tame for Rechokim, Ela Bikrovim Hakasav Medaber. Rather, says the Gemara, that phrase, Al Kol Nafshos Meis, refers to who, Rabbi said? Even the Kohen Gadol's close relatives. He may not become Tame even for the close relatives. Ula aviv hu de'eno metame, hametame le'meis mitzvah. And Shavuot says, here's the interesting part. If that's true, when the pasuk says, akol nafshos meis lo yavo, is referring to the Kohen Gadol's close relatives, and there's a follow-up shayla. What's the follow-up shayla? Why does it have to say, ula aviv uli'imo lo yitama? Why does it have to specify those two? I'm going to tell you why. Those are drashas. Ula aviv, what do I learn out from the fact that it says he can't become tamid for his father? La aviv hu de'eno metame, hametame hu le'meis mitzvah. Oh, so we'll say the Torah singles out father to teach me. It's for his father that he may not become tamid before a meis mitzvah he can. Uli imo l'gzir shava. And Rabbi say, what do we learn out from imo? From imo we learn out gzir shava. Rabbi say, we'll see that gzir shava be the gzir shava. Ultimately, we'll connect Kohen Gadol to Nazir, but we're going to stop over here for today. So we'll say, so what we conclude with now is we've established all of our categories of relative kedusha among the different Kohanim. That's number one. Now we've also established is, again, akol nafshos meis lo yavo. Teaches me that a Kohen Gadol may not become Tamei for all of his relatives, close relatives. La'aviv, however, teaches me that he may become Tamei ultimately again for a Meis Mitzvah. Imo, we learn out Gzeir Shava. Meretz Hashem will expound that Gzeir Shava tomorrow.
Short question. Kohen Gadol.